Didn't want to. We know some of you are traveling. I'll just tell you, there's nothing like being here. Sorry. But it is true. We encourage one another just by presence. Jesus encourages us by presence. I want to take you on a journey this morning. You know, I had a couple people in the last couple weeks come to me and say, you know, we haven't had communion in a long time. And the church responds to COVID in so many different ways, but this morning we're going to have communion. But I want to take you on a journey with it, because I believe there are so many beautiful workings of God that involve not only the understanding of communion, but Jesus' life and the prophets and all of these things. And so I have something that's been on my heart all week long, and I'm going to ask Brother Matt if you want to put that up there. Here's what I'm going to say. This is in the Bible, but I don't want you to say where it's at if you know it, and if you don't know where it's at, I don't want you to look it up yet. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Man, I woke up Monday morning and I'm just going, the whole ringing in my mind was, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And every day this week, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'm going, am I just in the Christmas mood or what? I am, by the way. I love this season. You know, the whole world knows it's Christmas. And whether you like it or not, you can't get around its name. This has obviously been one of the craziest years that we've encountered. We've had all kinds of chaos, trouble, sickness, death, turmoil in the mind. Anybody been confronted this year with where is the balance between standing for truth and being nice? In other words, when to shut up and when to yell. Yeah, that's where we are. And we're confronted with it because it hasn't quite been like this before. And we thought that being nice always meant, well, we'll let them speak what they want. We'll hold our you know, thoughts. I've been intrigued this week by just, this was a developing message for me, and each day brought a different thought, and by the time I put it together, and by the way, my latest thoughts came this morning, so the developing story develops, you know what I mean? And I love it, because this service, in my opinion, is going to just be glorious with communion, because I want to get communion from a different perspective than what we typically do. This word up here is not the length of the verse. There's far more to the verse where it is. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy in its essence? It's looking forward. And if I was going to name the message this morning, that's what I'd call it, looking forward. Because, see, the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy, it looks forward. If you're going to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, and I trust that you have something that you can turn there with, because I would want you to verify what I'm reading. Don't trust me. Get your own evidence. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. I think all of you understand that Isaiah was one of the tremendously great prophets, but what I think that many people don't understand, we just look at the Old Testament and think these prophets were all the time. But there's more to this. In fact, Isaiah lived at a certain time, and he lived under four kings, but he was a prophet to Judah. And if you know Isaiah chapter 6, you'll know the first king that he served under. Who was he? Chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Would you like to have a witness from a prophet who actually saw the Lord? Yeah. And so Isaiah is this prophet, but see, he was contemporary or in the time of two other, what we would consider, minor prophets. But he was not in the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, who come 100 years later. He was not as some of the earlier prophets who were prophets to Israel, because by the time that Isaiah's on there, and by the time he's going to his last king, Israel has basically been taken into captivity, and he remains in Judah. And it's years later that Judah is taken over. So Isaiah covers a span, but it's Micah and it's Joel who are his contemporaries. In fact, hold your finger in Isaiah 60 and go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And for those of you with devices, I don't know how to tell you to do exactly what I told you to do. Don't hold your finger there, because I'm not sure what you'll end up with. If you got a Bible, you can hold your finger there. But if you hold your finger somewhere on your device, you're probably going to watch some other TV show or something. Don't do that. The only thing you should have on right now is your Bible. Listen to this. Hebrews 1, we're going to read like two or three verses here. God, who at sundry times, various times, and in diverse manners or in various ways, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. What I want you to understand is, it's easy for us. We're going to stop reading in Hebrew so you can go back to Isaiah 60 in case you need time. God had periods of times when he spoke very loudly and very often. And then there were other times when it seemed that God was silent. You've got 400 years before the New Testament that the Bible itself calls it gross darkness, when the voice of God wasn't really uttered. And into that darkness he spoke. But what he was relying on was, if his people would concentrate on what was prophesied, they would know something is going to happen. Okay? This is very important. So we're going to read Isaiah 60, because this is something that I want you to just get in your mind, that Isaiah is prophesying. Now, he's in the 800s B.C., okay? He starts under King Uzziah and goes through three more kings. And the beautiful part of Isaiah is he's considered one of the major prophets, not because he's better, but because he wrote a lot. The others are minor prophets. Joel only wrote three chapters. Micah, 7. They're considered only minor because of that, and yet we'll talk more about that. But let's read the first 6 verses of Isaiah 60. Wouldn't you love to hear a good prophet say today, that somebody that you really trust? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah is a prophet to Judah. But listen what he says. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Here's what I want. I'm just going to kind of commentate as we go along. You know, I'll put my comments in there. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Anybody know a certain old man in the temple about the time that Jesus was presented? Michael Card sang a song about him. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. For I've seen the Lord's salvation. He's a light to the Gentiles and a glory to his people, Israel. Part of that's a direct quote. Simeon said, he's a light to the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. When did Simeon say that? How old was Jesus? 8 days. Isaiah said it 800 years. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Any idea who the kings that would come to his rising are? Possibly from the east? You're going to get more of that. Lift up thine eyes round about thee and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Think about that. They come to thee. Who came? Angels, shepherds, wise men. All these people came by announcement that earth wasn't responsible for. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Listen to this. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. Any idea who brings gold and incense? Could it be that that's why we have three wise men, is because they come from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba? Is that why they make three? Because we don't have any idea that there were three or 10 or 500. But it names three cities there, and so maybe that's why we get three wise men. And they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. You see, the reason, one of the things we love about Christmas, and that's why I wanted to just see where God was going to take this morning, is because I think this is one of the most confusing years to celebrate Christmas. Can we even get together with our families? That was a rhetorical question. Some of you are going, I am. Easy. Rhetorical question. But honestly, there's such confusion. There's such craziness. There's so many divisive works. There's so much word and voice going out, and you can't even be sure where somebody else stands, and you're afraid to speak out anything because you're not trying to offend, but you'd like to speak your truth, and yet you know that your truth now could be, you know, and you're just going, man, I just don't know about this. Merry Christmas. I'll get political for just a second. How many of you from Michigan? You need to deal with your state. When you got an attorney general that is offended with Merry Christmas, 8-year-old child offended at Merry Christmas. I would probably put the biggest banner in my yard as close as I could to their house. Because you don't have a right to be offended if we have free speech and Merry Christmas is on the lips of those who are absolutely American. If you're offended, keep it to yourself, just like you expect us to. But we believe in Christmas because we know he came. And it's only the spirit of the Antichrist that would be offended at the coming of Christ. But we know that that spirit is alive today. And I hope this goes right into Michigan. We have a right to it. And I'm not trying to just say, you know, rebellion. No, I'm saying if I can't say Merry Christmas without your political power coming into play there, then that's the berries for you. This is the best work God has done up to this point, bringing Jesus Christ into this world so that we who are born of the Spirit of God could have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And you don't want me to say Merry Christmas? The only thing about Christmas is the Holy Spirit gets to come and live. And that's awfully merry. The only thing merrier than that is going to be what's happening next. You see, we love this idea of Christmas and lights and all the gift giving and all these things, and we should. I mean, I love it. I see all the lights, and maybe you're not into lights, but the truth of the matter from Scripture is light has come. Light has come, and when I see it, I don't even know if they're believers, a lot of them. I know some of them probably are not. There's a lot of lights out there. And if you don't think there's a lot of lights, go to Shipshawana. Pay your $20, go through, and you'll see lights like you've never seen lights before. But it's beautiful. Why? Because it's him. Every song we sung this morning was about Jesus Christ. Why? He's the redemption of the world. Everything about him is about loving us so much that he was willing to come, suffer, and die so that we could become the children of God. But you see, there's so much to this that I felt like Isaiah, who prophesies, Micah, who is his contemporary, and Joel, who is his also contemporary, and Jesus, who speaks to them, and by the Spirit of God they prophesy, who at various and sundry times and places has spoken to his people by his servants, the prophets. And yet, if you know anything about Micah, Micah's the one that says, the only one that says, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, out of you shall come this Savior. Micah 5, by the way, if you're not aware. And yet, Micah, well, Joel, what does Joel prophesy in the second chapter about the 28th verse? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. Is that what he said? Yeah, he's a contemporary of Isaiah. So he spoke into the future too. But you know what is cool about this? I'm not going to tell you yet. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26, I'm going to start in verse 26, and this will be something that's familiar to you and something that you'll see why we're going there. It says this, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then he said, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What did Jesus just become? The prophet. Because he's speaking into the future and saying, "I want you to remember this because I want you to understand my covenant with you. You're going to remember it. Remember it." And in other places, he instructed us that we would take communion, we would share in the body and the blood with the bread and the juice. And as often as we do it in remembrance looking back. But he said, "But I'm going to tell you that I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward again to the day when I get to drink it again, except we won't be drinking in this kingdom. We will drink it in my kingdom where my Father is, and we will have a time of our lives because that's the way it's supposed to be. Our communion will be perfect. Our fellowship will be face to face." Can you imagine these guys? And they're going, "Okay, you're not going to drink it again until We drink it together in your Father's kingdom." Seems to me they're going, "You want to explain that?" You see, we look at it in hindsight. We get it. The beauty of who Jesus is he isn't here just to do this. The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Isaiah prophesied to Jesus. Joel prophesied through Jesus. Micah prophesied Jesus' birth. All these contemporaries, when God spoke to them in that certain segment of time, they prophesied Jesus coming as a child. Jesus then came and prophesied future and said, "I will not drink this again until I drink it again with you in my Father's kingdom." But you know what I love about that? That all three of these contemporary prophets also prophesied the millennial kingdom. All three of them. Isaiah, Micah, Joel. Do you think God was moving on people at that time to say, "I want you to know what's coming"? Because you see, I printed out a timeline, and I encourage you to look at one. Find a timeline of the Old Testament, because this one lists when the prophets were in place. And then 100 years later comes comes Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. And then it got dark. The only people that went after that, pretty much, which we don't consider them that prophetic, is Ezra and Nehemiah. And you look at how God worked this through, and yet the timetable that he's got, he kept stretching out the timetable. It was going to be so long. He told Abraham, "It's going to be 400 years, buddy. 400 years. 40 years, Moses. You're kidding me." All these guys would, Daniel, 70 years, Jeremiah prophesied. You just look at all this stretch of time, and yet he tells them ahead. And then he says, "You know, there's going to be a very, very dark time, gross darkness. But what do I want you to do?" 800 BC. "Arise and shine, for thy light has come." What do you receive that by? Faith. That's a prophet speaking the word that God is going to do. And if nothing seems to be going good, you have to set your eyes on things to come. You have to look forward into the days to come. Not dwell on what was past. Christmas is awesome because we're celebrating something that is past, but we understand the work of that. But it changes everything when you look forward. And Jesus is the one who said, even at this time, I'm going to suffer. But I'm just going to tell you guys, this is the last time that I'm drinking of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you again. Do you think Jesus keeps his word? So do you think he's anticipating a time when he gets to gather the saints of all the earth and gather them together at the marriage supper of the Lamb and say, I've got a toast to make here. Lift your cups. I have kept myself from the fruit of the vine for 2,000 years, waiting for the time when I get to gather those that I redeemed from the four corners of the world. And I'm asking now, Father, is it time? Can we drink? And the Father says, you may. I believe that that's how it's going to be. Because if he's waited and if he's kept himself for that long, waiting and anticipating something that he said in front of them at the time, I believe there's going to be an absolute celebration to say, finally, what I have prophesied, I will do. I think of all of these things. We enjoy Christmas simply because, I mean, to any of us who are born of the Spirit of God, through Christ, may I say, Christmas isn't, I mean, it's not the tree. It's not the lights. We love those things because of him. We love the music because of him. We love the gathering and the program tonight, but because of him. Every part of it. I mean, look at this. It's him. It's Jesus. But you see, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There is always a forward look for those who know him. It's easy to reminisce about what has been, but there should be an understanding on the inside of us, even in this day. We may see darkness. It may feel like captivity. Is that new to the people of God? No. Always before a deliverer came, it got very dark. Is there going to be a deliverer come again? Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Chapter 17 is the destruction of Mystery Babylon. Chapter 18 is the destruction of the city of Babylon. Whatever your opinions are of those, that's all right. But I want you to understand where we are in Scripture at this point. The last vials of God have been poured out on the earth. What are they filled with? The wrath of God poured out on the earth. A time such as never was before, nor ever shall be again, according to the word of God. But then we come to Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, just what you sang. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts did what they always do, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to me, These are the true sayings of God. And then John writes and says, And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Jerry and Mina didn't know what I was preaching this morning, by the way. They did that all by themselves. You think? They didn't know what I was preaching, how them songs work for you. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon the horse was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to challenge you with something today. Isaiah is the major prophet. Isaiah's got a lot to say. But if I could give you a little homework, I would tell you through this week, read the book of Micah. Read the book of Joel. The contemporaries of Isaiah. And see what they have to say. One of them talks about a great war where he says, you're going to beat your plowshares into swords and make weapons out of these things. And the other one talks about the day when you're going to take your weapons of war, you're going to beat your swords and weapons into plowshares, and you'll study war no more. Why? Because the Prince of Peace has come, and he is now ruling on the earth, and he will put down all rebellion, and there won't be anybody that rises up against him at that time. And nobody will come against the king, because when he comes back that time, he's going to be the King of Kings. Nobody is going to get up on him this time. Nobody is going to tell him what they're going to do. He comes as the omniscient one, the all-present, everywhere present one that at that time. He comes as the almighty because he can put down anything, because it only took one angel to bind up that old serpent called the devil and put him into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And you're going to find out it's only with the permission of God that these things happen. So today, as we ready ourselves, and I'm going to have the deacons come that are assigned. We've got communion that we're going to have up here in the front. We'll have one out there in the room behind for those of you who are here in the balcony. But today, what I want us to do is, I'm not taking communion just looking back. We want to do it in remembrance of him. But what we're doing today is, we're looking forward to the day when he will again with us fellowship with the cup. Because you see, I believe the greatest joy of Jesus Christ is to witness the relationship with his redeemed. And when he finally gets to call us out of this earth, gathered to himself, and say, my love, let's fellowship. Let's have koinonia. Let's share what I have waited all this time for. Jesus is on a fruit of the vine fast for you and for me. I won't drink it again until I drink it again with you in my Father's kingdom. I was so challenged this week, because as I see the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy, has prophecy stopped? No. So is there still a forward look? Ought to be. And yet it's so easy in our comfort lives, when trouble comes, to look back. And we call them the good old days. But what we should see is like a train coming through a tunnel, the light of God who is in front of us. And we start looking forward to something that we've never seen before, but neither has anybody in this world. The headlight of Jesus Christ coming, I believe, is becoming brighter and brighter in the tunnel of eternity. And as we look into that, we're going, even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, Maranatha. And some of us just have to have the courage in these days to speak to ourselves and say, why so cast down, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Why? Because I told you what was going to happen. I told you from the beginning what was going to happen. If a man can prophesy from 800 BC into the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, I think things are going to be okay. Hallelujah. Why would we not rejoice at the name of Jesus? I don't know how in the world we can just sit and be quiet and go, oh yeah, it's great to be a Christian. Man, I'm telling you, it's everything. If I didn't have him, I would be hopeless. But I am far from hopeless today, and I trust you are too. I know some of you are going through battles. We meet with you. Some of us are getting older, and the aches and pains are setting in. It's okay. It won't be long. And if the light's getting brighter, even in our own personal life, that death might be closer than to us than it is for some of the others, then we go, hallelujah, my redemption train is coming. Amen. We cannot get under this world system and just go, oh man, do you think that's right? Do you think that's fair? No, but he told us already, it's not going to be fair. It's going to be dark again. The man of peace is going to come because it's such chaos. And he is the false Christ. But he wouldn't come if it wasn't chaos. Just ask the Muslims. He's going to be their Messiah. It's just going to be short-lived. And then maybe there will be a great revival among them. I don't know. But it shouldn't take a great revival for the church if what I've told you this morning is in the arsenal of our understanding. I shouldn't have to have somebody come and go, Well, why don't you just cheer up? Why don't you just, you know, come on, put your hope in God. Church, this is our hope. This is our life. This is our forward look. The thing that keeps us from thinking tragedy and discomfort and heartache and all this stuff is simply because he who knows everything knows us. I don't care how old you are. It's not going to be that long. And we'll all see him. And we'll raise a cup and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to have you do just like we always have. If you have a hard time with this, maybe you've got concerns about it, you can ask somebody to bring it to you or something. Our deacons are here to serve. But what we have done is we've taken all of the precautions we can. They're individual cups. We have cubed the bread, so you're not going to pick it off of a loaf. You'll just pick up your piece. Can you handle that? We have designated how much bread you will eat today. If you're hungry, you may take two. Upstairs, you should have it ready up there, and somebody can direct you. But I want you to understand this morning, because the worship team's going to sing while we do this. And if it's not your time to go, let's just enter in. Because what I'd love to do is I'd like to have you anticipate today. Not just go, oh, it's communion. Oh, I got to get everything right. I've got to, oh, God, do that, sure. But more say, Jesus, this is the verification of what you have said. We're drinking this in remembrance, but what we remember is what you said. And you're still looking forward. After we have communion, I've got a video for you. And then we're going to end this service with an awesome song. And so just, this service isn't near over, so don't get comfy yet, okay? But what we're going to do, we're going to start on the outside aisles. And if you would, let me give you an example. If you would move towards this side, in other words, Brother Mike here will start, and David will follow him this way, and then they'll follow him this way. And that way, as they go around the table, is that the way they want to go? Then they'll be able to go back to their seats in the way you came. Okay? We can do that the same way here. Just go along and do the same thing. We're going to let the outside go first, and then the center. Outside first, and then center. Balcony, you're on your own. I don't want you to eat it, don't drink it till we're all together, and we're going to do it together, okay? Because we got some things we're going to do, all right? Worship team, let's sing together. I'll let George and Colleen start our process here. Come to the center as you follow them. Come out this way. So today we're going to take communion, okay? We'll do it in remembrance, but what are we really taking it with? A forward look. Lori, you want to set your stuff down and come here a minute? Lori came to me actually quite a while ago, and then again. And I just want her to relate something to you that she, I believe it was a dream, a vision. And so quickly as you can, tell us.
Well, it was about...
nice and loud. Yeah, put it right up there.
It was about the end of July. And I'm Lori from Elkhart, and I was thinking of Henry Groover. Remember our brother that came to this precious church so much, and we loved him so much. So I thought, I'm just going to come to River of Life and just worship with them. And I had fond memories of Henry Groover. So it was the end of July, a sunny day this last summer, and it was beautiful worship. I was just awestruck with the beautiful worship here and the presence of God. So I came home Sunday afternoon. I'm married 51 years. My husband and I ran out, got a little sandwich, and came back. And so I went to the back of my house, and I asked my husband if he would bring my chaise lounge out to the back of our little yard. And I was just tired, and I took my Bible and blanket, and I just wanted to read a little. So he did, and he went in the house, watched the news. I went in my backyard, and he put that chaise lounge there, and I had just old clothes on, and I was just quiet and tired, and I was reading my Bible, just a little, praying in the Spirit, just a little. was about 4:45 p.m., 5:15. And then I was done, so I gathered my things, and I started walking back up. I could see Steve through the glass watching the news in his chair. And I took 3 steps up to our back den, and you have to have your eyes open when you're walking up a deck. I took 1 step up and another step up. By the time I got to the 3rd step, my eyes were open. The Lord opened my eyes, and I saw Jesus standing right there. I saw him standing on my deck, and he was so beautiful. He had long ivory robe on with a brown sash and long sandy brown hair to here. And it was so beautiful, and I just looked at him, and it was in color, and my eyes were open. You could see my husband through the glass. He reached out his right arm like that, and I was looking at him, and as I kept looking at this beautiful scene with my eyes open, you know it's the end days, and the Lord is supernatural, and he's going to show signs and wonders. He can give you open eye visions. He can appear to anyone. He can do anything he wants, because we are in the end days. So as I looked at him, he reached out his right arm, and then I saw a beautiful lady that I've never recognized. She was so humble and pure. She had dark hair, page boy down to here, long sheer gown, you know, not the big puffy sexy gowns that the girls wear now, nothing like that. It was beautiful sheer top and long dress, and she had dark hair, and she had her head down, and she was humble, and she was walking, and she reached out her arm to Jesus, and she was walking towards him. And he reached out his right arm to her. And he was reaching out for his bride. That was his bride. And we are all his bride. We are his bride. He was showing me he's the bridegroom. And he's reaching out for all of us now as his bride. And as I stood there with my blanket and Bible, just staring at this beautiful scene, which was in color, 5 o'clock, the first time I ever came here, the Lord flooded my soul with how holy and loving he was. I just looked at him. He was so holy and so loving. There isn't a woman on earth that wouldn't fall in love with that bridegroom. You just knew in your heart he would take care of you the rest of your life. And he was so holy and humble. And there isn't a man on earth that could fill those shoes. But that's the bridegroom that's coming for us. And I was just reading last night, we are to pray to purify the bride, and to pray that we'll be wise virgins, not foolish virgins, wise virgins to meet our bridegroom, have oil in our lap, and be wise in these end days, and to make us ready for our beautiful bridegroom, because he is coming. And that's what I saw. Lord bless.
She didn't know what I was speaking today, and she's not always here. But when I saw her, and then I see what's happening, and I'm going, this is that day, isn't it? Because you see, Jesus sees, and today he would look down and go, I want you to enjoy your communion. I want you to do that because you're remembering me. But I want you to know my hand is reaching out to you. Because I'm ready to have you with me. I'm calling. I'm just waiting for the Father to give me one signal. And then I'm going to come, and I'm going to get you. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I want you to come, because I want to again have my communion with you, except face to face. That's what we're doing today. We're going to remember, but we're going to do it just a little bit different and say, we look back, we look forward. So Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. I want you to hold it up if you would. Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, sacrificial lamb, who was willing to be broken and bruised and slaughtered so that we could have life everlasting. Jesus, all we can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We bless the bread. Take and eat. Take your time. Remember, God, we remember. 2,000 years ago, we look back and we remember. Nothing has impacted this world like Jesus. We mark the day, we mark the year by his name, the name that is above every other name. Then it says he took the cup and he blessed it. Raise your cup, please. Jesus, we toast you today. That's what the world calls it. We would toast you. This is our remembrance, but God, this is our desire. It represents the fulfillment of what we look forward to. Jesus, we want to be so profoundly anticipating your return and your gathering of us unto yourself, because you're the one who said that you won't drink again until we drink it anew in your Father's kingdom. God, I pray, don't let this minute go to waste in our lives. God, help us to understand. Help us to understand the vision. God, that we're so close. We're so close to the announcement. God, they made an announcement 2,000 years ago by angels. But God, there's going to be a trumpet that announces what happens next. And God, may we anticipate what the next move is. We lift our cup up at you, oh God, and say, God, we long for you. We desire you. We're waiting for you so we can drink it in person. Yours will be the best. We honor you today in Jesus' name. You may take the cup. Isn't it good? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Sing it again. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. I want you to realize today that the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit, prophecy. Everything points to him. Everything from first beginnings to the last word is going to be to exalt our Redeemer. And I want you to know today that he's coming, and he's coming soon. And we should anticipate him. By the way, if you would, just pass your cups to the center and to the center on the outside also. And then that person can just set them down there. And that way we can worship together. But right now what I want to do is I want to show a video to you. This is an older song, but I think it capsulizes what I believe the Spirit of God wants to portray today. And if you know the song, Jake's going to turn it up nice and loud. And then we're going to, if you know it, you can sing it along with it, whatever your response is. Let's do that.
I'm coming for you, and I'm looking to see, is your arm stretched out to me? I want you to put your hand in my hand. Because I love you, I want you to trust me. To trust me. Every day, reach out your hand. Put your hand in my hand. Because I love my bride. I'll take care of my bride. So just reach out and put your hand in mine.
Yes.
Instructed in Scripture to comfort one another with these words. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. So I challenge you who are like me, you watch the news. I've got to learn how to stop shouting back at the newscaster and start saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because if he's looking forward to it, then I should be looking forward to it. And the full testimony of Jesus is Revelation 19, 20, and 21. And that's when the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth is given his rightful place. So I want to encourage you today, let's not get lost in the shuffle of what's going on today. Let's be forward lookers and say, to you, Jesus, to you. Can't wait till we get to have our glass raised to you in person. I want to say that if you're here this morning and you need prayer, if you want prayer, we're available. That's our priority here after a service. If you're not feeling well, you want the elders. If you just need help, encouragement, we're here. Other than that, go rejoicing. And come back at 6 o'clock for an awesome Christmas service celebration. Let me pray with you and then we'll go. God, thank you that you put in place things that would help establish our relationship. I thank you for this communion service that you instituted. I thank you, God, that you didn't make it such a rigorous thing. And yet, God, when we finally get to it, we want to tell you we miss you. Face-to-face is better. We've learned that this year. When we've been cut off from relationships, we find out that it's better together. And we look forward to the day, oh God, when every eye will see you. God, even at the end of the story, when every knee shall bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ, the essence of all prophecy, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We look forward to it. God, I pray, just stir our hearts to the readiness to look forward and not just look at the days we're in. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. And enjoy your afternoon.